This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Nice, something right would invite us to begin the day.
We are broadcasting live from Maggie O'Brien's, South County, off Lindbergh. And we are tasting one of the great appetizers of all time, the Reuben Rolls. They hand roll it. They got the corned beef. What else is in this?
Corned beef, sauerkraut, and Swiss.
Corned beef, sauerkraut, and Swiss. And you serve it with
Thousand Island.
Creamy horseradish. Wow.
Thank you.
God, it's so buttery, too.
It really
good. Just, wow, this is so good.
I can't talk right now, though.
Yeah. This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you until 12 o'clock. Martin is going to be here at 11. Dr. Rick is going to join us at 11. And then I think we're going to have a special hockey guest coming up at 11:30. Mark Parrish is going to join us, talk some Blues hockey. If they do pull this thing off, where would this rank in terms of thrills in your lifetime? I mean, would it go ahead of 2011, the World Series?
No, because I what do you mean pull it off?
I mean, if they win it, would it be the biggest?
I don't know. You know, it'd be pretty amazing. I mean, I've been around the Blues since they got here. I was a busboy at the Arena Club when they first got here, and
when women would wear beehive haircuts and men would wear suit and ties.
When men were men and women were women, yeah. And Norm Kramer would come in after the game with his glittery sequin jackets and play the organ for people in the club. And they'd sit around, and a little bit later, Jock Plante would come in and get a cocktail or whatever.
The players would come in and mingle?
Yeah, sometimes they would. Dan Kelly would come down. And, you know, they would come in and get something to eat.
Wow.
And I was at the game where Ron Schock.
You were at the Schock goal?
Yeah, I was right at the glass watching.
Wow.
So that's a breakaway goal that sends them to the Stanley Cup Finals.
No, that wasn't Cesar Maniago, no.
Yes.
Oh, that was Cesar Maniago, okay.
Without a mask. Yeah.
Isn't that unbelievable when you see that video?
Down. The shot was like almost right at his head, and he just falls down and it goes in.
Now, Glenn Hall did not wear a mask, and Jacques Plante did.
Well, Glenn Hall wore a mask late, very late in his career. Here. He didn't wear a mask his first year. And then he started wearing one when Jacques Plante got here. I guess Jacques Plante talked him into that.
Yeah. Wasn't Jacques Plante one of the first?
He was the creator of the mask.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. And a really interesting guy, although I'm not sure he was the most popular guy with his teammates because he was kind of a self-promoter kind of guy. But just this suave Frenchman, you know, he'd stand at the bar and smoke a cigar. And
really?
Yeah. He had that whole French thing going on. It was really good.
Who was a bigger star at the zenith of their careers, Red Berenson or Gary Unger?
I'd have to say Red Berenson. Just because Red Berenson meant so much, not just to the Blues, but to the expansion movement in general. Because, you know, when he became the first big star to come out of the expansion division or expansion teams. I mean, I think, you know, he finished third in the league in scoring his second year here, had the six-goal game, you know, was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. He really kind of helped put the expansion teams on the map. So in that regard alone, I think he was a bigger, a more important or impactful player than Gary Unger. Now,
Unger had the female demos.
You could argue that Gary Unger should be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, he had seven, I think, 30-goal seasons here.
And the Iron Man streak.
The Iron Man streak. And he was basically, really, it was all they had during the 70s. I mean, he'd be their sole representative at the All-Star game perennially. And, you know, was really... They weren't very good in the 70s for the most part, and he was really the only thing they had going.
Do you think Chris Pronger should have a statue? I mean, he's probably the greatest.
I think I should have a statue before Chris Pronger. But, no, I don't know.
I mean, he's arguably the greatest
defenseman.
Nobody's
ever asked me the statue question. That's a good question.
In fact, I asked that to Chris Zimmerman because they're going to be doing some special things during All-Star weekend next year. And they're either going to raise his jersey or he's going to get something, I believe.
Well, they should definitely raise his jersey.
But the statue, you don't think so?
I don't know.
Could you argue that
he
did as much for the franchise as Al?
Well, Pronger was the first defenseman since Bobby Orr to win an MVP and Norris trophy for the best defenseman. So, I guess you could make that. I mean, Al was if you're going to say, well, if Al MacInnis has a statue, shouldn't Chris Pronger, you could probably make that argument, yeah.
All right. We have a lot of people listening right now who are huge Cardinal fans who are going to be really, really interested in this book you have out about the history of the Cardinals. And from a pictorial point of view, it's like it's an 11 on a 1 to 10. And then from an inside story point of view, it's 11 on a scale of 1 to 10. You put a lot of thought into this thing. It's not one of these coffee table books where you just look at pictures. You got unbelievable stories in there.
Yeah, it's about 150 episodes or vignettes, I guess you'd call them. And like the Blues book I did, it's what I thought were the biggest stories of the decade. So sometimes it's a trade, or a lot of times it's trades. It's a home run. It's a particular game or a particular play. It's the time the Cardinals stole four bases on one pitch. The time Mike Laga hit a ball out of Busch Stadium. You know, Bob Forsch's two no-hitters at Busch Stadium. So it's a variety of things. But like you said, there's a lot of really, I think, outstanding pictures and pictures that people probably haven't seen or haven't seen very often for sure, because there's almost no pictures from the Post-Dispatch in there.
So how'd you get them?
Well, they aren't Post-Dispatch pictures. They're pictures from other sources. You know, Getty Images provided a lot of the pictures, and a couple of my pictures. And they're just kind of from all over the place.
Who did you sit down with? Like, give me one story that you... I mean, you're a lifelong Cardinal fan your whole life, and then this guy told you, I never knew this. Or what would be one that instance that jumped out?
We may have talked about this, but one of my favorite stories is, for one thing, one thing I found out about, to address what you're talking about, is what a huge presence Bob Forsch was. Now, you know, I covered the Cardinals when Forsch was here. I knew he was a respected veteran. I knew he was a good guy. He was a pretty darn good pitcher. He won more games at Busch Stadium, too, than any other pitcher. He threw two no-hitters. They're the only no-hitters that were thrown at that stadium. So he had plenty of credits as a player and as a man, as a leader. But he really had a huge impact in their clubhouse. I mean, the respect he had from the other players and the regard was surprising to me. I didn't realize that. And one of the stories, the reason for that, there were a couple of stories, but one was from John Stuper, who in 83, early in the 83 season, he's pitching a game in Los Angeles against Fernando Valenzuela, who at the time is the biggest star in baseball. And so it's at Dodger Stadium, a big market there, big game. And so he's all excited about that, and he goes out, and he can't throw the ball over the plate. He walks the first three batters without throwing a strike. So Whitey goes out and gets him, takes him out of the game. He comes into the dugout, goes to the end of the dugout, slumps down, frustrated, angry, disappointed. And moments later, Forsch walks down to the end of the dugout, pats him on the shoulder and says, gee, I don't know why he took you out of the game, Stoop. You had a no-hitter going. So... And then there was the Jeffrey Leonard thing during the 87 League Championship Series. Jeffrey Leonard's
the flapping.
Most prominent player in the series. He hits home runs in the first four games. And he's doing his one flap down home run trot, which is he just leaves his one arm dead at his side, takes his dear sweet time getting around the bases, and then walks the last 10 steps or so across. So in game, the critical game in that series was game four. And the Cardinals are losing 4-0 in the fifth inning. And Forsh is sitting on the bench next to Ken Daly and some other pitchers. And, you know, they're talking about Leonard, and Leonard does his home run trot again. And Forsh says, you know, I've had enough of this. I'm going to take care of this. Well, sure enough, Whitey brings Forsh into the game in the fifth inning.
As a relief pitcher,
a
starter.
There's two guys on base. He comes in. They're already losing 4-0. He drills him. Second pitch hits Leonard right below the chin with a fastball. Knocks him down. The Cardinals come back to win that game, 6-5. And that was the turning point in the series. But, I mean, that's the kind of – so when Ken Daly tells you that story or something, he says, you know, nobody was the least bit surprised about that. They knew he was going to do that.
Wow. All right, how do they get the book, Dan?
They can get the book anywhere where fine books and fine writing and things like that are sold. But they can go to reedypress.com, R-E-E-D-Y, press.com, or Amazon, or Barnes & Noble, and all the bookstores.
Sounds great. We appreciate you stopping by. Thanks so much.
You got it, Frank. Thanks.
Dan O'Neill, one of the best in the business. Martin will join us when we come back. Hollywood Casino's our title sponsor. Charlie will be out there tomorrow night. He's going to be enjoying the Dave Matthews concert with a couple of his buddies. It's a great place to go. You get a room sometimes if you want to have a couple of cocktails. Maybe you go to Final Cut Steakhouse, all-you-can-eat buffet, 99 Hops Outs. It's a terrific place. We're at a terrific place today. Maggie O'Brien's. Sunset Hills off Lindbergh. We're giving away Blues tickets. Come on by and say hello, Martin, when we come back.